Welcome to the Transom Podcast, a monthly roundup of the new features on the transom.org website, providing mathematical puzzles, games, learning activities, and the ever-popular mathematics lesson starter of the day. Here's your host, John Tranter.
Yes, it's me again. Welcome to podcast number 141 for the month of August 2026. Right, let's start with the puzzle of the month.
Monsieur Thénardier has been doling out the charm, ready with a handshake and an open palm. Meanwhile, Madame Thénardier has been cooking the books and contemplating interesting facts about the numbers in her life. She has realised that the digits of her age are the digits of her husband's age reversed. Although he is the older of the two, the difference between their ages is only 1/11 of their sum. How old are the Thénardiers?
That's the Transom puzzle for this month. The challenge is set. Have a think, make a plan. You had 1 month to figure it out. Send in your solution as soon as you can.
So I know I always say this, but if you do manage to solve it, please let me know. I take great pleasure in hearing from people around the world that have thought about the puzzle, maybe come up with a solution, whether it's right or wrong, how they solved it, what they thought about it. And, well, if you do, fire off an email to newsletter@transom.org. That would be great. And when I was trying to decide which puzzle to use this month, I had another idea, a close second, so to speak, called pair of pictures. And that was a really nice puzzle that I've decided in the end to make into an advanced starter. So it's there in the advanced starters. I'll read it through to you just in case you want two puzzles this month. Here we go. Two square pictures in an art gallery have different side lengths. The numerical difference between their side lengths, measured in meters, is numerically equal to the difference between their areas, measured in square meters. If the smaller picture is hung directly above the larger one with the frames just touching, what is the total height of the display? So that was the second choice for the puzzle of the month, and it is now an advanced starter. But I found that cool, sick, or whatever young people say these days.
The text version of this podcast can be found at transom.org/newsletter.
Okay, let's get on with it. So what's been added to the Transom website during this last month? Well, the first one is a new activity that I'm quite proud of, actually, called Stem and Leaf Diagrams. It includes the classic textbook style practice of reading, interpreting, and constructing stem and leaf diagrams. But I've tried to make it quite varied. You know, I like the variety of the spice of life. Pupils are asked to compare two different distributions in one of the levels. In another level, they're asked to interpret a Japanese railway timetable presented in a stem and leaf format. And for another level, they have to solve a stem and leaf number puzzle. Now, let's just have a look right now as I'm talking at the trophies that have been earned so far since it went live. And I can see, right, 52 people have earned a trophy for level 1 already. 18 people for level 2. It always drops off, you see. Level 3, just 12 people. Level 4, only one person. And level 5, 2 people. But one of those was me. Now, nobody's got past level 5, so they've missed the puzzle. The puzzle hasn't been solved yet. So, there's another puzzle of the month. Go and solve the stem and leaf puzzle, which is in the stem and leaf exercise. And the link is in the newsletter. And the puzzle is level 6 that no one has yet earned a trophy for. There we go. Stem and leaf diagrams. The link is in the newsletter, transom.org/newsletter. I've updated the constructions activity, which gives pupils practice with the classic ruler and compasses skills, including perpendicular bisectors, perpendicular lines, angle bisectors, and the construction of some special angles. Now, what makes it quite different from a textbook exercise is that each task leads to a measurable result. So students complete the construction on paper, away from the computer, and then it asks them to measure a particular length on their construction, which they then type into the online exercise, and straight away they get the feedback of whether they are right or wrong within a correct tolerance. So have a look at that, called Constructions, link in the newsletter. Mandy's Matching is a new activity added to the website, contributed by a subscriber. The percentage matching activity helps students who struggle to identify what type of percentage problem they're facing. So, finding a new amount, or working backwards to an original value, or just calculating a percentage itself. So, by dragging cards to match word problems with the correct method, the students build the skill of recognizing problem types before actually diving into the numbers, into the calculation. So, it's the choosing of the method which is the step that often trips learners up more than the maths itself. Mandy's Matching. Thank you, Mandy. Now, when I was in a classroom back in the UK, when I first started my teaching career, I had a poster on the wall. I'm pretty sure it was the Maths Association that published it, but I've tried so hard to find it recently and not been able to. So I've produced what I can remember from it, and you can see it in the newsletter, and it is in fact in the back to school page as well. It's a poster called Cheating. I thought it was very clever. It says, looking up the answer in the back of the book to check you have answered correctly is not cheating. Asking a friend how to solve a problem is not cheating. Using a calculator to check your work is not cheating. Now, this is the sentence I've added. Using AI to show a step-by-step solution method in order that you can do other similar problems is not cheating. Uh-huh. Cheating is when you pretend you understand when you really don't. That's when you're cheating yourself. So there's that lovely poster, and it just makes it clear that we are trying to deepen, or students are trying to deepen their own understanding. That's the whole objective of it. So when they find these little cheats and workarounds, they're actually cheating themselves. And I think that's a great point. And on the subject of AI, as that's the statement I've added, I asked it to suggest ways students could use it positively. And it hardly hesitated before coming up with the bullet points. Now, am I cheating by getting AI to do that? But anyway, the 5 bullet points that AI came up with itself about how to use AI, and not cheating, is understanding new concepts, so asking AI to explain, as I've mentioned before, practice problem solving, generating extra questions, which it does very easily and quite accurately now, check and improve work. So you can do a solution, put it into AI and get it to give you some feedback on your solution to a longer problem. Revise effectively, because it can create quizzes and flashcards and summary notes and things. And develop mathematical communication. So use AI to help explain your reasoning clearly using correct mathematical vocabulary and notation. If you've sort of given it a sort of a very plain street speak type explanation, it can help you with the proper words to explain that correctly. So I thought I'd put those in just for good measure. But if you're really interested in how AI can be best used in mathematics learning, I suggest you listen to the current series of the Mr. Barton podcast. I've put a link in the newsletter because he's talking to some experts in the field and thinking of all the different pros and cons of using AI. Okay, so if your students are currently enjoying their long summer break, well, of course, sorry to those in the Southern Hemisphere, but in the Northern Hemisphere, it's summer holiday time. You might like to point them towards the Holiday Maths Activities collection. These are light recreational challenges designed to keep mathematical minds active without feeling too much like schoolwork. So you could fire off a quick email to your students containing a link and let them do the rest. Don't make it sort of a formal thing that they have to complete certain activities. Just give them a free rein. And even if only one student does one activity, that's better than if you hadn't done anything at all. So the holiday maths activities are linked to from the newsletter, transom.org/newsletter. Okay, Radio 2, which I listen to on the BBC, has a thought for the day every morning. So what about a thought for the month?
This is The Brief on Transom and the power of simple teaching resources. You know, with edtech platforms constantly piling on AI features and these super complex dashboards, a math resource site called Transom really highlights why teachers are desperately craving quick, instant access classroom activities. First, there's just a massive demand for instant simplicity over bloated tech. Honestly, think of modern edtech like a microwave with 100 confusing menus when a teacher literally just needs a 30-second reheat. Instead of navigating massive curriculum packages, teachers just want a worthwhile 10-minute task that can open instantly. Whether it's projecting a quick class starter, setting up a self-marking activity, or just filling a short gap, sometimes a single, simple question is exactly what sparks the absolute best classroom discussion. Second, math has to be about way more than just getting a green tick. As we look ahead to the 2026 exam series, the reviews are pretty clear. Efficient practice is definitely essential, but simply getting the correct answer just isn't enough anymore. Kids actually need to learn how to choose their methods, discuss structure, make assumptions, and apply familiar ideas to completely unfamiliar situations. So how do we get kids to actually think about how they solve a problem rather than just rushing to the finish line? Finally, let's talk about fitting this into the big picture. Specialized tools like Transom fit seamlessly into a teacher's crazy busy day. It provides exam-style questions, investigations, and fun little puzzles without trying to completely replace your lesson plan. It's really just one flexible piece of your overall curriculum. Ultimately, the most effective classroom resources aren't always the ones with the flashiest AI, but the simple, instant tools that get students to truly engage with math.
And following on from that thought, sort of balancing it, I guess, literally, I've just read in the news just before I came to record this podcast about a newly published research preprint. What's a research preprint? So I think it's a report that, or some research that hasn't yet been peer reviewed, but it's sort of the first glimpse at it. And it reports that pupils receiving frequent automatically marked handwritten assessments in AI mathematics and science achieve final mock examination marks averaging 16.8% higher than a comparison group using conventional teacher marking. Turnaround reportedly fell from an average of 11.2 days to almost immediate feedback, allowing pupils to complete about four times as much assessed practice. So I've put a link to that research preprint, which says, don't do so much marking. No, it doesn't say that. That's making a bit of a too obvious a jump from that. But anyway, have a read of it and make up your own mind. Okay, so now for something completely different. I took some photographs that I've put in the newsletter of an old hardware shop house converted into a restaurant and bar. And I took the photos last week as I was travelling through a small Thai town. There were literally hundreds of storage boxes all around the walls that had been left in place after it had been converted from a hardware store. And there were lots of little bins, like little pigeonholes. And each one, quite boldly, had painted a fraction calculation, like 2 by 3/4, 2 times 3/4, things like that. Obviously referring to the size of the items, whatever they were, that went into these boxes. But they were all great fraction calculations. And I just thought, oh my goodness, is this a Year 7 child's worst nightmare, coming to a place like this? Or does it make a trendy pastime for people who are waiting for their meal to be delivered, working out these fraction calculations? Anyway, I put the photographs in just for your amusement. So the final new addition to the website is a new page in honour of Henry Ernest Dudeney, the brilliant English puzzle creator whose ideas have inspired so many of the challenges on the Transom website. So the page includes a brief account of his life and work, followed by a catalogue of the Dudeney puzzles that have found their way into my personal collection. So it's a small way of giving credit to someone whose mathematical imagination continues to this day to entertain, challenge, and inspire generations of puzzle solvers. So that's the Dudeney page on the website. And talking of Henry, he provided the essence of July's puzzle of the month, which was...
Mrs. Brambleshaw kept a market stall where she sold apples in 3 sizes. Large apples at £1 each, medium apples at £2 for a pound, and small apples at £3 for a pound. 2 medium apples weighed the same as 1 large apple, and 3 small apples weighed the same as 1 large apple. Mr. Barnaby Pickles had a large family. He had the same number of boys as girls, and the youngest children were twin boys. Every other child had a birthday in a different month of the year. He gave his children £7 to spend altogether on apples from Mrs. Brambleshaw's stall. If the apples were shared equally among the children, with no apples cut up, how many young Pickles were there?
So there were, in fact, 6 young Pickles. And they each received 1 medium apple and 2 small apples. Leonard and Rick have saved the day by providing me the method that they use to come to this answer. And that is in the comments at the bottom of the newsletter online. So have a look at that to see how those answers were arrived at.
Nothing too hard for Transom's great friends.
Do have a good think about this month's puzzle and let me know your thoughts. And then I'll see you at the beginning of September. So, oh, before I go, I'm a maths teacher, so of course I have problems.
Thank you for downloading and listening to the Transum podcast. You can find the website at www.transum.org, where you're welcome to use all of the activities absolutely free. Or jump in with both feet and become a Transum subscriber.